Your talk. 96.9 Boston Talks.
96.9 Boston Talks. I'm Doug Meehan. This is the Doug Meehan Show. Are you hanging in there on your New Year's resolutions? Or have you already broken them? And you're struggling with the answer, why? Why do I give up? Why do I fail? Well, listen. We are here to help you. Well, not so much me, but Dr. Karen Ruskin, real solutions for real life problems. She's a psychotherapist, and she understands human behavior. She's here to help us out. Dr. Karen, Happy New Year.
Doug, Happy New Year to you. Thanks for having me on.
What a great way to kick off 2012 with your guidance and your help. Help us understand, and maybe those that are listening right now will be able to follow along with us. Why is it that we make New Year's resolutions in the first place? What is it about human behavior that makes us do this?
Well, we are constantly looking for self-improvement and growth. That is the number one reason why we make the New Year's resolution to begin with. The hope would be is that throughout the year we can set goals and work towards a better self and growth and future, rather than it just being one time that year to reevaluate our lives.
All right. With that in mind, then, why is it that so many people fail when it comes to those New Year's resolutions? What is it about human behavior that makes some of us so quick to give up?
Right. What it is about human behavior, the reason why people fail, is exactly what you just said. People give up, and the reason why is often we go into New Year's resolutions with a concept that this is a short-term change, rather than viewing it as a lifestyle change. The key is whatever your New Year's resolution is, whether it's to spend more time with your kids, diet, exercise, be more loving to your spouse, whatever it might be, consider it as a lifestyle change, an ongoing journey where you'll have some days that are better than other days.
Okay, now with that in mind, some people want to give up smoking, some people want to lay off the chocolates, others want to get to the gym more often. Can you help us understand how self-control works?
Okay, so when it comes to self-control, I believe that it has everything to do with the power of the mind. What we think and how we view ourselves and our situation is greatly impacted by the words that we use and what we say to ourselves. So for an example, if we're looking to smoke less or exercise, and we tell ourselves in our head, this is so hard, this is impossible, I don't know if I can do this. Notice all three of those statements are very common and typical when somebody's trying to work on something, and yet all of those three statements are negative. Mm. When we do negative self-talk, it affects the biochemistry in our brain and affects our energy level and is actually like a drug that decreases our compassion and passion for ourselves and for our journey and our goal accomplishment. Mm. If rather we intentionally say things like, not only do I think I can do this, I know I can do this, I want to do this, I can make this as a lifestyle change, I have strength, I have wisdom, I have power, I have the ability, all of those are more in the positive realm of self-talk. That affects how we feel emotionally and physically, even if, ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Even if we don't believe the words that are positive that we're saying, theorists say that if we act as if we believe what we're saying, that over time, if we say it with enough consistency, we will actually believe it. So that is the power of the mind.
So there is something to the power of positive thinking then.
Oh, yes, indeed there is.
Okay, we're talking to Dr. Karen. She's helping us with our New Year's resolutions. If you're already, you know, wondering whether or not you can make it, whether it's quitting smoking, whether it's getting to the gym, whether it's losing weight, give us a call at 617-822-1969. Dr. Karen might be able to give you a few tips to help you out. Dr. Karen, here's a big one for a lot of people. In so many different ways, how do we deal with temptation?
Okay, so temptation is all about the control of our impulse reactive response. It is instinctual for us as human beings when we want something, when we are tempted by something, to react impulsively and to fulfill that need, what we want, when we want, when we want it. Mm. That is our id within us. Our id says, I want what I want when I want it. And then we react to that by fulfilling that temptation.
That could be very powerful, though, by the way.
Very powerful when used wisely. Yeah. You know, isn't all of the positives can always be a negative, mm-hmm. and negative can be a positive. You're very analytical, Doug. Has anyone ever told you that?
Thank you.
The key here is to goal set. In the moment where you are tempted, it's to have what's called mindful awareness plus goal setting. So mindful awareness is when you are tempted. In your mind, you are aware and say, I realize I'm being tempted, yet I can choose not to react impulsively because I'm mindfully aware that I'm being tempted right now. And then phase two of the mindful awareness is goal setting. In that moment, either before, if there's certain things you know you're tempted to do, or during, if you're experiencing a temptation moment, you then set the goal and decide in your mind, create a mental vision of what you want instead of fulfilling that temptation. And then the next step is take action on that goal. Hmm. So M, mindful awareness, G, goal set, and then A is action. Take action on that vision that you created based on your goal.
So it's a constant understanding of where you are at the time mentally. You understand that there is that temptation for that chocolate sweet, but what do we do in order to take positive action so that we don't?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Here's a question, and is willpower, is it, and I use these in air quotes, is it a muscle we can strengthen?
I like that. The answer is an absolute yes. When it comes to willpower, rather than going to the gym to increase the muscle of willpower, ha, 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 so funny, what the muscle that we are strengthening is the muscle of the mind. What this means is every single time you do not give in to a temptation, so therefore you have succeeded in the power of the will, you are growing that willpower muscle. And the next time you are successful, that muscle gets bigger, and the next time bigger. And so your body, your mind, that muscle of willpower grows so that you feel and see yourself as successful when it comes to the power of the mind and achieving willpower. So it gets easier over time.
It does.
The muscles have grown, in essence.
Along those lines, how can we emotionally prepare ourselves for changing our behavior? Just the idea of going to the gym or the idea of wanting to quit smoking is one thing, but how can we emotionally prepare ourselves for that change?
Okay, so phase one of mentally preparing yourselves is by telling yourself, what we were just talking about before, that this is a lifestyle change, mm-hmm. and then phase two is determining in your mind what your vision is that you want to have yourself achieve. So now you have a vision of your goal actually being achieved in your mind. Phase three, then, is when you take action. That's part of your preparation, because taking action is now you actually implementing what you've prepared yourself in your mind, and you now see you are actively fulfilling your goal, which in essence makes you feel good that you can indeed achieve what it is you're trying to. And then phase four is positive feedback. Every single time you're successful, give yourself positive feedback that you achieved your goal. And finally, don't forget to be compassionate to yourself on the days that you have not achieved what it is you wanted to. And by knowing those 5 phases, those 5 steps, then you tell yourself in your mind, even before you're going to do whatever this New Year's resolution is, you tell yourself, I have 5 steps. Just knowing that you have steps, that in essence is a mental preparation, because now you know you have something to work with. It's not just freewheeling, free willy-nilly, and you don't know what to do, you have these steps. You right. can achieve them, and you tell yourself that.
You're not diving in just with the hopes that you're going to swim. You have an understanding that you can swim, and you know how to swim, and,
then, right.
and then you go from there. 96.9 right. Boston Talks, we're talking with the lovely and talented Dr. Karen Ruskin, Real Solutions for Real Life Problems, and we're helping you, our listener, better understand why it is we may fail or succeed specifically with our New Year's resolutions. Some of you may have already failed, but we'll get you back on track. If you have a question, 617-822-1969. Dr. Karen, do people sometimes set unreal expectations for themselves, and that's the biggest reason for failure?
Sure. When you talk about setting unrealistic expectations, often what I see is the unrealistic expectation is that it's not just one goal, it's that they have multiple goals, and then they set a deadline on how they want, when they want to achieve those goals. Mm. It is very hard to have three or four goals all at once that you have to make this huge change. Remember, Rome wasn't built in a day, mm-hmm. and whatever the problem is that this person has that they want to improve upon, that it didn't happen in a day. It took time to develop, and therefore it will take time, effort, patience, and energy to change. So if it is unrealistic, the solution, because as you said, I'm all about real solutions to real life problems, indeed, the solution to that rather is to break down whatever the larger goal is or goals, to break it down into mini steps. That way each day you can take one mini step towards the overall achievement, so that way you don't end up feeling that you have now failed and give up on, oh, I can't achieve that goal. Forget it. I can't do it. It's too unrealistic. Rather break it down so it becomes realistic.
Gotcha. I'm guilty of this, and I understand this to be a very bad thing. I have a tendency of comparing myself to others. I go into the gym and I look at people that are really fit and I go, oh my God, I'll never get there. And or I see somebody that's successful, like, oh my gosh, you know, why is comparing ourselves to others a bad trap to get into?
All right, well, let's
like, I know it's a lot to digest. Yeah. I mean, there's probably a lot of psychoanalysis as to why I'm doing that, but I think a lot of people may do that.
A lot of people do that. You're not alone. You don't have to feel so
Thank
awful
you.
About yourself. Yes, I'll reassure you.
Thank you.
So let's first normalize why we do that, because yeah. just the understanding of why we compare ourselves is helpful, and then we can talk about whether or not it's a bad trap and what to do from there.
Mm-hmm.
So first off, it is normal to compare ourselves to others, a normal response reaction is what I'm saying, because of the fact that we don't exist in a vacuum. We are who we are. We view ourselves, as far as how we view ourselves, in our comparison to others. If the whole world looked a certain way and we look differently, then we would most likely view ourselves as unattractive if everybody looked so attractive in one way. Let's say if everybody had two noses and you were the only person with one nose. That would seem odd, mm. even though in our culture, clearly, one nose.
mm.
It's a very odd example.
No, yeah, but it puts it in perspective, yeah.
It puts in perspective. So with weight, if a society, if everybody, let's say a 5'4" person, everybody's 200 pounds and one person is 125, the 125er might seem that perhaps they're unhealthy, whereas if everybody else is more 125, 130, and the minority, okay, so you see how the comparison to others is very normal. It makes sense because that's how we understand what is acceptable, unacceptable, what our goals are. Often that is how we decide what we want to make shifts upon. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is it a bad trap to get into? Well, just like many of us learned when we were young, just because somebody else is jumping off the bridge doesn't mean you should too.
Mm.
So comparing ourselves to others, whether it's positively or negatively, that can bring a person really down, especially if you're comparing yourself to others that are the extreme. For an example, if a young woman is looking to diet and she's comparing herself to the magazine models, that comparison will be very difficult to achieve.
Mm.
So that can negatively affect oneself. But on the positive side, let's say you're looking to drink less alcohol because you're feeling your family feels you have an alcohol problem, and you look around at your family and you see everybody's really not drinking that much, and you think to yourself, well, nobody really is drinking that much. Perhaps I can compare myself to them, and I should make an improvement. So you see how comparison can be helpful, but you see comparison can also be hurtful because the flip side can happen as well.
Gotcha. Well, okay, so there's always a positive side to it. We have a caller. Sharon's from Walpole. Sharon, good morning. Happy New Year. What's your question for Dr. Karen?
Happy New Year to you. My question is that when you were talking about the self-control, quote-unquote, muscle, and the more that we exercise it, the stronger it gets.
The willpower.
So there was willpower.
Yeah.
So there's tons of people who lose weight all the time, myself included. And the success rate of keeping it off is very, very low. And it's not, so I'm wondering, like, well, what happens? What happens to our willpower once we lose the weight?
Great call, Sharon. Thank you very much. Dr. Karen?
Excellent question. What happens is we often have a goal set in mind, whether it's conscious or subconscious, of how much weight, for an example, if weight is the topic, which it sounds like it is for the moment, how much we want to lose. We have this goal, and often it's for an event. I want to lose the weight for this wedding or for this upcoming shower. And if it's not for an event, it's just a number. I want to be this amount of weight, or I want to fit into this size jeans, or I want to look this way. And what happens is either when we get super close to that goal or we've actually achieved that goal, then it becomes a check mark. Aha, I've achieved the goal. And the moment we achieve the goal, that is the answer to your question, Sharon.
Yeah.
That is often when we lose our willpower, because now we've achieved what our goal was, which is why I go back to the concept that rather than viewing it as a short term or just a goal and now the goal's achieved, done, it's a lifestyle change of healthy eating. Yep.
No, that makes the point of, you know, it seems like it's such a definitive end, and once you reach that end, it's like, well, then what's next? Or you let your guard down, as opposed to just creating a new form of behavior, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
Speaking of behaviors, can we catch good and bad behaviors from others?
Oh, it's like a sneeze.
Yeah.
It's like a yawn.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I do believe we can catch good and bad behaviors from others, which is why often you hear, there is truth to this, the importance of surrounding oneself with those that are positive and those that are healthy, those that make healthy lifestyle choices, is very important, because we can find ourselves comparing ourselves to the negative and perhaps get sucked in to make bad behavioral choices, because that is what we have as a support team.
And that does help. That idea of a support team is essential, I would imagine, to achieving lifestyle changes.
Yes, those who are around us, whether it's one's spouse, one's children, one's friends, one's therapist, one's coworkers, all the people that are in our life, how they interact with us and relate to us, and how they are just acting in general. People who make bad choices can indeed affect us. We have to be very strong, independent-minded thinkers to be able to brave the world against what the main people in our life are doing. So that's why it's very important to have support networks and others around us who are making healthy choices, because that makes it much easier for us to continue on a journey of making healthy choices. Look around you. Look at family legacy. Often you see people have similar life choices that they make with family members, because that's what's around them. That's what they're seeing. That's their network.
Dr. Karen, I can't thank you enough. I might have to blow off the next hour just to get to the gym. I'm so pumped up. Thank you so very much for helping us out, getting us, you know, our minds straight when it comes to achieving lifestyle changes. And I guess that's the whole idea behind these New Year's resolutions. Dr. Karen, thank you very much. I make the resolution that we will talk to you again real soon.
My pleasure. Anytime. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. Dr. Karen Ruskin, boys and girls. Real solutions for real life problems. Helping us out. I absolutely love it.
Your talk. 96.9 Boston Talks.